Hey, 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 closet busters and bold move makers. It is time once again for Life Uncloset. So I want you to gather around because it is time once again to kick down those closet doors of your life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemons. I'm the bold move expert and that coming out guy who's going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloset. So come on along with me and grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step into facing your fears, making your bold moves, and living life without apologies. Now let's get to the show. Hey, Life Uncloseted family, here we are. We're already into March of 2024, and what better time as we're kind of halfway to like Pride season to talk about how do you get out there and keep the world, you know, working towards our goals. And I don't want to say on our side, so to speak, but you know, how do you have an impact in your own backyards, in your own communities as members of the LGBTQ community? And this isn't about like get out there and, you know, march in people's faces or anything. That's not what we're going to be talking about today. What we're going to be talking about today is what can you do? How can you be present? How can you bring yourself and help support the community, whatever that looks like for you? So why are we talking about this now instead of during Pride season? Well, because I feel like sometimes we sit back and we don't realize any little thing that we do can actually have impact. And my guest today has figured that out. He has become quite the advocate in his own backyard with other things that he's done as well. And I felt like talking to him would be a really good inspiration for all of us as we're looking at, well, we don't know. We don't know what 2024 is going to bring. Like any other year, we don't know what the year is going to bring. But it's time, in my perspective, to stay a little bit vigilant on the LGBTQ front. So today, my guest is Brian McGunigal. He is the founder of Westport Pride. I'm going to let him talk about that. And he has been very, very active in volunteering in the Westport, Connecticut area and just really being out there and saying, hey, how can we have some impact? I don't think he woke up one day and said, I'm going to do this. It kind of showed up and he decided to step forward. So Brian, I'm really glad to have you here, man. And really excited to have you share like, hey, this is how this happened for me. And here's what I'm doing in my own little corner of the world. So thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Rick, I'm really excited to be here and I appreciate your asking me to be on the show. It means a lot. So excited to talk about those things.
Yeah. So let's kind of talk with what I just kind of threw in at the last moment there. Like you just didn't like, okay, we're going here. We're going to do, but I think there's some observation that all of us do like, okay, I see where I could have some impact or I'd like to do this. And it's not, you know, it can be just showing up at a Pride festival. I get that. I'm not going to say that's not enough, but there's some backstory here to what finally kind of brought you going, okay, let's do something. So wherever you want to start with the story of like, you know, how did this happen? I think the listeners.
How did this happen? Great.
I guess we could always start like you came out of the closet. There we go. Okay. So that's a given.
We could start there, but I mean, we'll start with Westport Pride. We can definitely get into those kinds of questions later. So it was 2020. It was COVID. It was the height of COVID. And a few years earlier, my husband, Steven, and I moved to Westport, Connecticut. Town about an hour and a half north of New York City on the Metro North, which is a commuter line. We're on the Long Island Sound here in suburbia. And so we chose to move up here because part of our plan as a couple was to become parents and have a family. And Westport is a wonderful community, fairly progressive in our view, that we thought we could settle down in and start that vision of family. And so we had a son in 2019 and then COVID hit and we were all home. And, you know, there's a lot of thinking, you know, going on for me about, you know, what does community look like? We're up here in the suburbs. Where's the LGBTQ community? We knew there was a Pride Center in the next town over, and we made some friends there, and we made some friends through our pediatrician's office of all places. We met two gay couples there. But, you know, this town of however many people, where are the rest of us? And if we could all come together and gather, what would that look like? And then the third question I started asking myself was, okay, if we come together, what what could we all do together? And so asking those big questions and really just kind of thinking about them, I reached out to my network in the community and someone said, there's a guy, Dan Woog. He's a blogger. He's a part of our community, gay community, and he is kind of he grew up here. He's all things Westport. And they said, talk to Dan. He'll really kind of be able to tell you kind of, has this been done before? And moreover, if this is something that is worthwhile, he definitely would be a great person to kind of get on board. And so Dan and I talked. He's a blogger. And at the end, he's like, this sounds like a great story. Let's put it out there into the community. He's got about 15,000 subscribers. And so we posed those three questions to Westport. And it was the fall and of 2020. And overwhelmingly, I started receiving all these emails, all these reach outs, on his blog and then directly of people who wanted to just get involved. And so come January, around this time, 2021, we had a Zoom call and 50 people showed up.
Wow.
Everyone from high schoolers, single adults, teenagers, families, seniors, all part of the LGBTQ community or allies. And we just started to talk, what would this look like? What do we want to do? And it slowly started to come together around this idea of, okay, what would a pride organization in this community look like? And then what are the things we could do in Westport?
That's amazing. It's interesting because I've been down this path myself. Now I kind of stepped into it, and when my husband and I moved to San Luis Obispo, where we live now, smaller town, so similar. We moved out of the LA Basin, and we moved into beautiful little area on the Central Coast, 35,000 population. There was an LGBTQ Pride Center. We have the college, so there's definitely an LGBTQ center on Cal Poly's campus. And we were looking for community, and we stumbled across a group on Meetup called That's Slow Gay. So San Luis Obispo goes by SLO. So That's Slow Gay. Like, oh, this could be interesting. And we got to know him. And then not long into that, we became involved as like co-facilitators of Meetup. And then finally the guy who was running is like, yeah, I don't really want to do this if you guys want to take over. I'm like, okay, cool. And it's really interesting because there's got to be a deep heartbeat within yourself to go, let's make this happen, right? There's nothing easy about any of this. But there also was this, wow, there's definitely a yearning and desire within the community. I love this community, and we since we don't do this. I mean, we COVID hit and it was really hard. Like, how are you going to keep a meetup going when you can't meet up, right? So it was a little bit of a challenge. And then by then we had ran it a year and a half or so. And I'm like, I'm kind of tired, and I still love doing it, but I'm just like, I'm tired. And so I can only imagine that as you started working towards this, there were things you didn't expect that could happen. And then there are probably some things you're like, wow, okay, cool. I'm glad this is happening. So what have been some of the challenges along the way of like stepping in and going, okay, we're going to do this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we bit off a lot in the first year. There were a lot of people who wanted to get involved. And so everything from, okay, let's focus around Pride Month. We had a Pride rally. We were able to quickly build partnerships with our merchant community. We had over a dozen merchants who were offering branded items or discounts or donating to the organization. We I'm trying to remember if that was we did that year too. We had a couple different shows and other things, educational programming, all these things. And then we partnered with our school district, which was like all these like things that you would never think would just happen. And in that first year, we did first ever K through 12 Pride events in our school district. Things again, with the Our government here is run by what we call the select person's office. And so there's no like mayor, but there's three people who govern, and immediately met with the select person, one of the select people at the time. And we talked about some ideas like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we had a rainbow crosswalk, or what would be cool if we could, there's a prominent bridge downtown, fly flags on the bridge, or do some of these different things, you know, just kind of spitballing. And she said at the time, yeah, rainbow crosswalk, I was thinking about that too. And this is someone, you know, who's on the Republican side of the town, and so it was kind of, you know, in the climate at that time was kind of like, whoa, okay, this is interesting. So met with just a lot of acceptance and allyship, things like that crosswalk that was in 2020. We just laid the permanent crosswalk this year over the summer and the fall, and we had it dedicated on National Coming Out Day. And so to see the community go from this concept or this idea of something that, you know, as an LGBTQQ plus community member, something I thought, you know, this isn't going to fly here that quickly. Just seeing, like, you know, the wheels of government, we joke, you know, spin that fast, to have something like that happen, and or fly a pride flag here on the kind of the one of the greens, that, you know, those were big things that we were seeing in other communities not happening or being blocked in our local neighboring communities and nationally. I think from a challenge perspective, we've seen some of the national dialogue come into our community. We had the kind of the book ban controversy come through town. There were some there's a small group, very vocal, in town, who are hooked in with what I would guess are the, you know, Moms of Liberty type organizations. We had a school event that quickly got telegraphed to the Steve Bannon show. We've, you know, the book bans again that I think ended up on Fox News at some point. So, you know, we've been overall, you know, in a great spot, but, you know, like anywhere, there's controversy. There are people who don't want to hear about LGBTQ issues or kind of see us in their community. But overall, we've been, I'd say, very lucky to have been so welcomed, and as a, not only as a family, but then to see this community arise and grow.
Well, and I think this is, unfortunately, I hate to say it, this is where we are right now.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
it's almost, I don't want to like placate to, like, okay, this is where we are. I hate that, but it's like, okay, I think that fuels the fire up. This is where we are. So let's continue to be vigilant and move forward. I happened to be interviewing another guest a couple of weeks ago, and it was all about, fostering to adoption, and big move. And he's got a book coming out, and it's interesting, like the fear that's already showing up. It already the book's not even released, but it's available out there in all the places for pre-sale. And here's another gay trying to like breed our children and groom our children. And it's like, okay, so these kids, you'd rather them be stuck in a foster care situation or nowhere rather than to get beautiful love from people who really want to have children, So I think this is, unfortunately, this is the rhetoric right now. And I think this is why I really wanted to have this conversation with you, because we may not think we can do anything in our own little neck of the world, and it may not have national impact. Some of what has happened has had national impact from, what you've been sharing. But at least we get to have our voice out there and to be heard. They may not like what they hear, but I feel like this is where, if we allow it to happen, we're kind of responsible too. And I'm not trying to put the blame on all of us. Like, if you don't get out, that's why I said at the beginning of the podcast, I'm not trying to incite anybody to like, okay, go, do what you don't feel comfortable doing. There's lots of ways to contribute. So as you've worked with lots of people in your community, I'm sure you have people who are like, yeah, I can do this, but I can't see myself doing this, or I can help here, but I can't help there. Is that a pretty common sort of thing you witness as you put together Pride and everything?
You see it occasionally. I mean, for the most part, you know, people in this community have really risen up around the organization. Though, you know, I think, you know, when you do talk to people, There are different levels of comfort. I mean, I think back one story I really love is when we started this, there was a family that reached out, some parents, and they're like, our son just came out and we're not quite sure how to process this. And we love him, and they were very accepting. And I remember meeting with him, and we've kept in touch over the years, and at the Pride Festival this year, he spoke. And every year I'm like, do you want to speak? And he's like, I'm not ready. And he was this year, and it was just this really, people were crying to kind of see this and see this progression of someone who, was part of our community, wanted to be involved, but needed to grow to a place in their comfort being an out man to show up. And I've seen that with a couple other many people I've met just through this process. I'd
Well, and
say,
that can be difficult because I saw the same thing even in our little meetup, I'd ask people like, okay, well, I can come up with ideas and we can go to the movies, we can go on hikes, we can have potlucks, we can, all this, what would you like to see? And people say, I'd like to see some different stuff. Great. What would you suggest? Well, I don't have any ideas. I'm like, okay, you want to see something different, but you don't want to, So one individual in particular was really interesting. Like I was kind of getting to that frustration point. Like, okay, everybody says they want something different. And instead of saying, what would you like to see? And I had kind of got to know this person a little bit. So instead of what would you like to see, I'm like, well, I think these are some of your interests. And I kind of listed off. I said, can you see how any of those interests could play out in the group? And suddenly he lit up because I brought something that was important to him, which I didn't know how other people would. It was interesting, Brian, because out of that conversation came a whole other conversation like, oh, yeah, there's about 12 of us that do this all the time. I'm like, good to know. Because if there's 12 and they were all in the group already, so if there was 12 of you guys that are already, guys and gals that are already doing this activity, then that says maybe we could all do this together. And sure enough, as soon as I announced it, all those 12 definitely like boom, 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 because these are not the people who are like, ooh, let's go to the pub and have beer. Not anything wrong with that, but that was one of our standard things. Like once a month, we'd pick a different LGBTQ friendly pub because we don't have a gay bar in this town, pub or wine tasting room who like was very supportive and we definitely would support, but you don't want to always make that's the only thing we do, right? And it was just amazing to see when we offered up this particular activity, which was kind of a combination of a hike and kind of like nature sort of discovery thing, that a lot of people are like, well, I'm not a hardcore hiker, which we've done those. But this was perfect because it's like we get to get outside, we get to get some exercise. We're going to go someplace that a lot of people, even though they lived here all their life, are like, oh, we didn't even know there were trails out there. I think this is where you can meet people where they are. And I'm such a huge advocate of, especially when you're running an organization like you're running, it's like, okay, just be willing to meet people where they're at and go, what's the best fit for you here? So it sounds like you've been very successful in embraced from the community. You brought up like other communities around you. Do you feel like your success has kind of helped them in other communities go, okay, we can replicate, or has it moved the needle on what they're being able to do?
It's interesting. I wouldn't contribute it to us. When we started, there weren't there's we live in a it's called Fairfield County, outside of out of it's kind of the lower right corner of Connecticut, that part that sticks down. And there were just a couple Pride organizations, and I would try to connect with the ones I'd find on Facebook. I think last year we kind of came to the realization, like, almost every town has a Pride now, or a Pride group. Was it us? No, I don't think so. I mean, there was, the Fairfield County Triangle Community Center really grew and started to help kind of nurture a lot of these other Pride organizations, serve as fiscal sponsor for many of them. And I think that really helped. And then as a kind of a whole, a networking group came together of all these Pride organizations. And so there's a couple nonprofits or foundations who've helped sponsor some events for, kind of, I joke, like, felt a little bit like Oprah, like, here's a check, here's a check, here's a check, like, do something, do something, do something, which I think helped a lot of the groups get off the ground. And now there's a, we call it Fairchester Pride. It's a loose kind of networking group of Westchester County, which is in New York, and Fairfield County here in Connecticut, maybe 30 Pride groups that have like a Google server or a Google list. We email each other, right? And so, like, when the Supreme Court decision came out, we were able to, in like 3 days of like, or the last 48 hours of just like a million emails, like, craft a statement of these 15 or 20 Pride groups and put that out there. And so, you know, it's cool to kind of see that grassroots, all these little groups that didn't know about each other through the power of the internet and some other foundations, helping bring us all together. And so, but that point, every town is different. So Westport's been fairly accepting. I go down the road south two towns. There's a town called Darien, Connecticut, and they've had a very hard time. They worked in their first year to fly a flag, pride flag in town. And every day someone would come and take it down and put up an American flag, all through Pride Month. Their town council in the last year passed a ban on any flag that's not the US flag, the town flag, or the state flag on a town flagpole. So, you know, and that's 10 minutes away. So, and then one town up, Fairfield from us, has also had some different challenges. So it's not, you know, people say, oh, you live on the East Coast and you live in Connecticut and it's liberal. Not every town's different. And even here in Westport, you know, we just had a recent Board of Ed cycle. And the Board of Ed has to be a bare majority. So there always has to be at least, I don't know, if there's five slots, right? Two have to be from the other party. And the local Republicans ran two MAGA type people. And since there was no one else challenging them, it was looking like one of them or both of them would get one of the seats. They just needed of one vote. And it was really nail biting. These are the same ones who were, you know, stirring up, getting on Steve Bannon, calling the superintendent groomer. And a woman stepped in, an independent, and she ran on a write-in ballot. And she won. She, you know, combined the other two, got half the votes, and they were on the ballot, half the votes that she got. And, you know, you had to go write in. No, you know, bring with you your phone to know where to put this thing. And there was a really big down ballot, you know, all the other Republicans were, you know, people just decided not to vote, even if there was a someone running for a seat, just because of that. And so in our town, that was a pretty big rebuke, I think, to that mindset. But again, I go 10 minutes down the road, I have friends running a pride there, and they're struggling, you know, to try to make some of these more progressive things happen.
Well, and I think that's just part of what we go up against right now. You know, there's so many things that, you know, even as I look ahead, you know, I'm like, I'm not backing down. I'm not backing down. I'm going to keep doing my podcast because, you know, I don't have huge audiences, but I don't have small audiences either, you know? And the more we have these kind of conversations, I feel like it's a continuation of, I'm just sharing my truth. I'm just sharing what's truly going on here, you know? And it's always interesting to, you know, be with your own circles of influence. And, you know, I have circles of influence that they're like, they love me. They don't like hate me or my husband, but they don't grasp the concepts. And when I bring something up, like, yeah, you know, there are states where we could be like turned away for trying to rent a home or buy a home together. There are states where we could be fired just because of, and they're like, really? We didn't. I'm like, no, of course you don't know, because it doesn't affect you, you know? And I think one of the greatest things that I see, you know, dad to dad right now is, you know, you're paving the way for your kids to be very open-minded and embracing, which you can't be kids of a gay parent, probably escape that to begin with. But it's such a beautiful thing. And I watched this with my own kids, Brian. Like I would ask them, like when like, you know, gay marriage rights was on the line and on Prop 8 and all that happening here in California, we were going to go advocate for it. And I said to my kids, I'm like, hey, we're going out. We're going to go help do some fundraising. We're going to stand on some street corners and stuff. And both of them said, we want to go. I said, are you sure? I said, because, you know, I want to protect you. Now, they were young teens at that point. So they were probably cool. They'd already kind of figured out where they stood on things. But I never was going to groom my children into going and do this. So any of you that would be listening that might think that, which I don't think we get a whole lot listening to this that aren't on our agenda, but or not even an agenda. We're just living our life, folks. But I find it really interesting to hear some of those things come up too. Like, oh, you're gonna force your kids into this. I've never forced my kids into anything. I've given them every right to think for themselves. But I think the beauty of what you're doing, Brian, is you're showcasing to your children, here's how you have empathy. Here's how you see someone else. Here's how you have tough conversations. It isn't necessarily about changing minds. Yes, we'd love to, but you know, hey, at least if we can dialogue, it's better than no dialogue, you know? So what's next for you, for Pride, for where you want to go? I mean, what would you like to see this thing go as far as the next tier? Any big growth?
That's a good question. We literally just had a strategy session trying to think about next year. So, or I guess now we're in this year, right? So, you know, I think, you know, you touched upon a couple of things where I think really our organization has really kind of three pillars: elevate, educate, and empower. And so we're like, well, how can we kind of take all of those? That's what we really want to focus on. How do we take those things to the next level? And so, what kinds of events or groups or partnerships can we develop in this year to hit those things? And so, you know, we've looked at some different programs we've started with. One of them, you know, was off of the recent Supreme Court decision around building websites. And so how can we partner with our local merchants to create a feeling of welcome in our community? And so that is going to be a program where we partner with merchants. They'll display a all are welcome sticker, and you know, they have some incentives to actually have to join the program. We're going to provide them with monthly education. How is one of the merchants we spoke with runs a driving school, and so he's got a fleet of 20 cars. He's in this town and 5 other towns. He's like, I have a lot, you know, of people who are teaching driving of a certain, they're in a certain age range, and they know when they're in the car that they're with LGBTQ students all the time, but they don't have the vocabulary. And so he wants to create a space in his business where his staff are trained to be able to have those conversations. And he wants to put a pride sticker on basically on every one of his vehicles so that when a student gets in, they know they're in a safe place. So things like that, where we can just help make our community welcoming.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's something as simple as what you just described, you know? One of the ideas I had years ago when I thought about building a foundation out of my work, and then I'm like, you know, I'm good. Maybe I'll be on a board or something. But one of the ideas I had, because there's so many, and maybe it's because my husband works in the homeless sector, but there's so many youth who are LGBTQ and homeless, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I often thought about, like, you know, pet rocks, going down the path of pet rocks, so to speak, but having a love rocks. And having a love rock that you could hand out to any LGBT, you know, it could be anybody, but, you know, if you could find those homeless LGBTQ, you know, teens or whomever, you hand them this love rock, and this love rock would be able to be used at any merchant in town that shows the love rock symbol. And it could be even as simple as a cup of coffee, or a cup of coffee and a donut, or it could be something that maybe they could come in and, you know, they could get a free t-shirt out of a store that they might need. Now, they only get to use it once, but it's something that's really powerful. Like, first, it you know, we had a lot of safe places when I was serving on the board of a teen youth home that we had set up across entire Riverside County here in California, where it's like, if you saw the safe place symbol, you knew that's a place you could go to be really, really safe. And I feel like now more than ever, this is part of how we can advocate. Come up with a simple idea. Suggest, hey, I know this business. Sometimes, again, you don't have to be standing on a street corner. You don't have to be standing on the steps of the Supreme Court to say, this is BS. It can be as simple as, hey, here's a business that I think would be really interested in being supportive. Or here's somebody who writes grant money, and maybe you can talk to them about the grant funds. I mean, you know, there's tons of ways to be present and be, you know, in the world and doing what you do. So I love these ideas that you're doing and continuing to do, and like being vigilant. It's just really being vigilant. Like, how do we keep us relevant in a world that wants to make us irrelevant?
So And I think, you know, we're talking about, you know, okay, we've grown to this point, and we've got, you know, our small social media presence probably in comparison to something you're doing, and, you know, an email distribution, and said, okay, simple things, right? Like, okay, it's probably time to survey our group and say, what, you know, community, what is it you're looking for? You know, what are the big issues, concerns, and opportunities you see? You know, again, to your earlier point, like we put out content, we put out programming that we think people are interested in, and some of it sticks to the wall and some of it doesn't. So, you know, how can we make sure we're tapping into the right things for that are concerning, you know, everyone from our youth to our seniors in our community? Things we're focused on again this year are the pronoun policies that our school district use. They're fairly limiting. And you know, we're a nonprofit, so we can't really get too far into that space of advocacy. But you know, one of our advisors is a legislator, so she's going to look into at the state level what can the state level school committees do. You know,
it can be as simple as just helping people understand even
what is a pronoun,
right? Well, what is a pronoun, and why
people don't understand that?
Yeah,
we found that, you know, we've done some 101 and 201 courses at our local library around that. We partnered with the DOJ and brought in a program around hate crime, specifically talking about the LGBTQ plus community, which was fairly well attended. We've talked about things like mentorship. You talked about homelessness. In the youth population, it's a hidden challenge, I think. You know, there's, you know, kids couch surf. When I came out, part of my process was volunteering. I've always been a volunteer. I volunteered at Sylvia's Place, which is a shelter of last resort at the Metropolitan Community Church in New York City. And I'd meet these kids and these stories, oh my God, of being thrown out of their homes and jumping on a Greyhound to New York because they thought, well, New York's a gay-friendly place. It's the place to be with, you know, $200, and realizing $200 doesn't get you further than a day maybe in New York. But out here, again, it's, you know, hearing that they couch surfed for a year. And so we were talking up here, what about, you know, obviously there's programs and there's regulations in place, but what if some allies in our community got certified as being able to be foster care people? Mm-hmm. So if I were trained, and, you know, they're looking for an emergency placement of an LGBTQ plus person, you know, I could say, you know, my home is available for that student who, so those are, again, things that you can talk about wanting to be involved, but there are ways you can get involved. Again, like, is it just educating allies or even within our community, things around pronouns? Is it simple things like that? Just saying, you know, hanging a flag in your business or is it taking small actions like getting certified to be able to help youth in our community? Those are things we want to keep building on.
It's so interesting because I'm going to go back to my previous guest whose book's coming out. So Mark Daly is his name. He's got a book coming out called Safe, and he's the foster care guy. And the stats that he talked about were shocking to me, like 700 kids a day enter the foster care system in the U.S. Just take that number in. 400,000 a year are sitting there in the system. So you, and then if you start to play the numbers, like, okay, we know 2 to 3, whatever percent of everybody is LGBTQ. Well, you can see where those numbers now, what if somebody doesn't want somebody in the, you know, the foster parents like, no, I can't do that because of my, so you just see how this all perpetuates. And then you take the homeless piece and add that to it. And there's just so many things. In fact, one of the things that I felt really proud of when I was speaking on a regular basis, you know, on the circuit, was I'd go to a lot of colleges and universities, and I was speaking in the LGBTQ space, but I was also speaking to the general school population. And many times, Brian, I would help quote close the speaking deal by saying, I would love to not just speak to your orientation group coming in, you know,
yeah,
but I'd also like to speak to your resident assistants, you know, to kind of like, hey, let me run a training while I'm there, or 2 weeks later, or whatever it might be, on how to spot a student who's really struggling with their sexuality. And how do you have those conversations? And what can you say? And what, you know, and I wasn't trying to be Mr. DEI. I'm like, I'm coming more from a heart center, because if a student's isolating, okay, there's lots of reasons of that. But if you can see they're not really interacting, and they never seem to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and, you know, you don't want to make too many assumptions, but here's some of the signs, folks, that maybe somebody, you know, is really struggling. And I just feel like anything that we can do as a community and as society to really level the playing field, which is kind of what you're doing. You're helping to level out the playing field and going, hey, this is just how we show up. This is who we are. And that's why I so wanted to have you on the podcast, because I think we always like, okay, let's talk about Pride Month and everything, but this right. happens 365 days a year.
Right.
This doesn't
Pride is all right. year, right? It's we're gay all year. Year
yeah, yeah. I don't think I've checked. Turned. I don't think I've turned my gay off ever. No. So. Well, maybe I hid it for years, but I don't. It never
yeah,
turned
right.
off.
Yeah, so, I hear you there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you, man. So thanks so much for being part of this and being, you know, part of like making some movement and making some difference in the world. So westportpride.org is the website. If you all want to see what he's doing, maybe some of your local communities will hear this and go, wow, he's doing this. And maybe we can get some more insights. And it could be somebody's listening to this that's off in some small town somewhere where they're like, we can't even begin to do this. And that's why, Mark, I mean, Brian, I just felt so compelled when we got connected and said, yes, this is an important conversation to be having. So any last minute stuff you want to share with the audience before we wrap up? Any new programs or initiatives other than, hey, what are we doing this year?
No, I think, you know, I think we covered a lot of it, Rick. And, you know, I think it's, you know, we continue to talk about how we can grow, how can we make an impact in our community. And to that point, you know, how do we, you know, I started this, you know, thinking back when I was a youth, and you know, there was none of this in the community that I grew up in, and wanting to have that there for our youth, starting these seeds now, you know, again, having children, raising children, meeting families with kids who are struggling. That's what this is about, really. It's about community. It's about building. It's about making that space for people to be seen and heard. And we're just excited to keep doing it. And again, I started this with no expectation and in a town where I didn't know many people. And you never know. That's the thing. You got to take that first step and try it out. That's what I like to say. You know, let's try something on and see where it goes. Again, I'm here. I'm always welcome to talk to anyone here who's listening to your podcast to talk about how we did this and thinking about things to do. And Rick, awesome. I really appreciate, you know, being given this opportunity to speak with you. I love it. And never thought I'd be doing this. If you asked the straight closeted Brian that if he'd be running a pride organization in Westport, Connecticut, he would have looked at you with six heads.
Yeah. You and me
That's
both.
How this happens.
When I came out in 1999 at 36, if somebody had told me you'd be doing this and you'd be I was not gonna. And then here we sit today. So we get the divine intervention of guiding us to what we're supposed to be doing is always such an interesting journey. So,
amen.
But anyway, I appreciate you again, Brian. And anyone who's listening, again, reach out to me, reach out to Brian, reach out to your local organizations. They all need help. Trust us. They need help. They need support. They need help. It can be even, you know, somebody said to me once, like, the best I could do was like a $10 donation a month. I'm like, you know what? $10 can go a long way. You may not feel like it does, but when 10, 10, and 10 starts adding up, then it's 100. when 10 adds up and it's a thousand, you know, if that's all you can do, then that's all you can do. That's totally cool. 1 hour, go volunteer doing folding envelopes or, you know, letters to stuff in envelopes or whatever it is. Like anything can really help these organizations. So again, Brian, thank you so much for sharing and being part of this. And if anybody wants to get a hold of Brian, we'll have everything on the website for how to connect with him and go out there and be your most amazing, beautiful self as an LGBTQ plus person on the planet. Thanks everybody for being here. Hey, 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 Life Uncloseted family. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end, and it is time for all of us to sashay away and go face our fears, make those bold moves, and stand up to living our life without apology. But before you do, I've got a favor to ask of you. Would you hop over to iTunes or Spotify or Podbean or wherever it is that you're listening to this and just give us a little bit of love if you like what we're doing here at Life Uncloseted? Here's what it does. It helps other people find the show. It helps other people get to know what we're all about. And you just might help change a life. In fact, if you really want to change a life, we'd love it if you just ask a friend to take a listen and see what they think. So that's it. Love you all deeply. I'm Rick Clemons, the host of Life Uncloseted. And never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your life uncloseted.